مهما زمن يطول عالبود انا صابر. لولا دفتك تمام روحي روحي انا صابر. مهما حبيبي غاب لابد يوم
Hi there and welcome to Nile Cruises For You podcast from nilecruisesforyou.co.uk. I'm Colin from Nile Cruises, and this podcast has been put together. It's a series of regular podcasts that hopefully will bring you a lot of information about the whole idea of Nile cruising. If you've never Nile cruised, if you've never cruised the Nile before, this will bring you quite a bit of information. And if you've cruised before with us or perhaps with somebody else, it will perhaps take you back and remind you of what a great holiday you've had. Essentially, each podcast will be in the main an interview with a past Nile cruiser, somebody who's cruised before. It'll be a series of questions to the interviewee to let you know what they thought and give you some insight and background. Just a couple of things before we start today's interview. Today's interview, by the way, is with Eamon Lafferty, who travelled on the King Tut earlier this year. And it's a great interview with Eamon. But just before that, some mentions for some of the posts on the blog, which is www.nilecruisesforyou.co.uk/blog. That's a daily blog. It's updated with news and articles and things of interest to Nile cruisers every day, and you can subscribe by clicking on the subscribe link on there. But one of the most recent posts was to do with a couple of websites that I found, which I think are really, really great resources for somebody who's thinking of cruising on the Nile. And they're being created by a lady called Sue Bayfield, who in fact lives in Cornwall, but is obviously a great lover of Egypt. And she's created two great sites. The first one, which I think you'll find really interesting, especially if you're due to cruise in the next, six months or so, which is www.egyptsites.co.uk, or is it egyptsites.com? It's either egyptsites.com or egyptsites.co.uk. I feel it could be the .com. And it's really a fabulous site. It's a description, photographs, and all the information you could need, really, all of the major sites that you're likely to see on a Nile cruise, and an awful lot of the other Egyptian sites and monuments and temples. And obviously, as I say, Sue loves Egypt, and it comes across in her writing. So if you've looked at the itinerary that is on the website of most, describes where you're going to go day by day on the Nile cruise, you can then go to Sue's site, egyptsites.com, and look at the particular place that you're going to, and you'll have the information before you actually travel. It's a great site. And on the site as well, she has another site that goes from there, which is her blog, Reflections in the Nile, which is her writings, really. And I would really recommend Sue's sites. I think you'll find them fascinating. Okay, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go straight into the interview that we did with Eamon. It was recorded using Skype, which is the voiceover internet telephone system you can use. So it's slightly quieter on Eamon's side than mine, but I've tried to level it using some software, and I think it comes out okay. I think you'll enjoy it. Here it goes. Today I'm speaking to Eamon, who's travelled with us before on a Nile cruise. So Eamon, if I could ask you first, what led you to booking your first Nile cruise?
My my first male cruise was something I always wanted to do, Colin. Mm-hmm. It was an ambition, if you like, to go there, and because of the history of the country, and I just wanted an opportunity to see it, and it was a recommendation from friends that I should also go there to see that. Mm-hmm. And it was a very good way of seeing the history of the country.
Of course,
by doing a male cruise.
Yeah, of course. It seems to be on a lot of people's wish lists, don't they? A lot of people's travel wish lists seem to include a Nile cruise, you know?
Absolutely. And anybody that I talked to for me to do this took a couple of years in the planning, so to speak. And anybody I spoke to with their ambition to do a Nile cruise, and I spoke to people that had done a Nile cruise, and I also spoke to people who want to do a Nile cruise and have done research on it.
I was going to say, did you do a little bit of research before you travelled yourself? And if you did, what did you do? I mean, apart from speaking to other people.
What I actually done, Colin, was just went on the internet and checked it out, so to speak, about what was available, what you actually saw on a Nile cruise, and other things about the experiences of people that had done it, spoke to friends that had done it, and listen to travel program reviews, and when you see them on television, it sort of kept emphasizing the fact that I needed to do it.
Right. And did you cruise for the whole week, or did you do one of the cruise and stays that are available?
No, I actually cruised on the 7-day cruise.
Right.
I had my daughter with me when I done that, and obviously we were tied to time because my daughter had to get back. So we just opted for the 7-day cruise.
Right, and which boat did you cruise on?
It was called the King Tut.
Oh, right. Yep.
A fantastic boat.
Really?
Beautiful boat.
Really. And, I mean, was it a great impression as you got on? Was it what you thought it was going to be, so to speak?
Absolutely. I've lived up to the expectations, if I can put it that way. The boats, although you can see them on the internet, and you are talking to friends and all, nothing prepares you for the absolute splendor of the boats. So when you actually walk onto the boat, the opulence, the furniture, the design, everything is so well laid out, and they're beautifully finished boats.
No,
they
are. Can you describe your cabins and the staff, the cabin staff who were assigned to you?
The staff were absolutely amazing, and I'm actually smiling when I'm talking about that. When the staff would, it's not an overemphasis, Colin, to say that the staff were part of a bigger family on the boat. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, for example, we would go for our dinner at night or for our meal at night, and the staff would go into the rooms when they were tidying up the rooms or preparing the rooms, and they would do something very, very funny.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you would walk into your room and there was tiles that were designed in the shape of a monkey hanging off the door. And you got a shock when you walked in, but the detail and the effort that they went into just to make you feel that bit of joviality and that interaction between the staff and the passengers. Everybody talked about it and everybody loved it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's...
The cabins themselves, absolutely amazing. Now, we arrived at night and we went to bed, and even though we arrived at night, the heat was beautiful. It was lovely heat. And we walked into an air-conditioned cabin. And it was well laid out. We had the two single beds in the twin room. We had the ensuite bathroom. We had the separate relaxation area, lounge area, if you like. And in the morning when we woke up and pulled back the drapes, the whole side wall of the boat was complete glass. And you were looking completely at a panoramic view of the Nile as you were just cruising along.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautifully finished cabin.
Yeah, it is. They are fantastic. I went on the Alphostate last time, and that was very much the same, you know. And obviously, there's a lot of excursions involved with the Nile cruises. I mean, most of the ones that we sell either do 10 excursions or 12. How did you find these were organized? And did they live up to your expectations? Because there's quite
very
a few, isn't
so.
There?
I'm beyond my expectations. I was actually privileged in the fact that I went there armed, as I say, with information on the fact that my son had done a Nile cruise with his partner a year before that, and he told me verbally, without going into detail, he told me, you will be amazed at this. But when we actually done the excursions, to actually go to the temples, Karnak and the temple in Luxor, and to actually see that after hearing so much about it all my life, was simply the icing on the cake, Colin. It was amazing though, to see those things.
Yeah, it's
absolutely amazing.
Some of them are breathtaking, aren't they, really?
They are very, very much breathtaking. Our guide, who was assigned to our ship, was an absolute, if I can use the word, gentleman, and a font of knowledge of Egyptology. He was an Egyptologist, obviously. He was able to take us, no matter what site or excursion we'd done, he was able to take us there and give us the complete history of what happened. The hieroglyphics that were on the walls of the temples and the carvings, he was able to explain what the story relating to that particular temple was. The gods, the sun gods, Ra, and how he was able to point out the, read the hieroglyphics as they came down the pillars of what actually happened at that particular time, and the history that was actually involved in that temple, when it was built, and the history, just more or less by the hieroglyphics, the history of Egypt as it descended through the centuries. Amazing man, so he was.
A font of knowledge. Yeah, I don't think people realise that when you have the Egyptologist with you, you have him really all the time, don't you? Because, I mean, he's on the ship as well, so you can go and speak to him then, and he, quite often they join in with you.
So. Yeah. And he even goes that step further, so he does. He would make sure that you're there, obviously, in the first place. He would also make sure that you understand what he's trying to say. Mm. He would invite questions from you if you wanted to ask such questions. He would always seem to go that extra mile to make sure that you understand what he was actually saying. Obviously, a man with a great pride in his country, and a great pride in the history of his country.
Yeah, that's the impression I got, to be honest with you, you know.
Mm.
Now, obviously, at meal times, you know, mixing with the other travellers, you know, of course, I know last time Barbara and I went, we were on a table with my daughter of about 8, and so you're mixing with a lot of other people. How did you find your fellow cruisers?
Fellow cruisers was, as I say, it was obviously when you're going into a new situation, a wee bit apprehensive. Do you know this and you know that? When you know that, and how will you get on with so and so? Everybody, and the one thing I always remembered, no matter what I've ever done in my life, is that everybody's on the same boat, really.
Yeah.
Everybody's a wee bit apprehensive. And so from day one, we all got on well. We all mixed. And when you go on the excursions, especially when you're sharing a bus getting to the place, or when you're walking through the town to get to a particular temple, you're interacting, you're talking, you're listening to what your Egyptologist was saying to you. Then you're coming back and you're returning and you'd say things like, that was an amazing sight. Somebody would agree with you. Then you would go up onto the deck of the boat on the sun deck and the relaxation on the afternoon. You would be having your tea together. You would be having a drink, which was all free, of course, because I went for the complete option, which is I advise anybody to do. The interaction was great and really made, we were very good friends, so we were.
I think it does. It brings people together, the fact that, you know, you are eating, you're going on the excursions, and then you've got your relaxation afterwards, you know, as you say.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you,
it's a great way of meeting people. It's a great way of interacting with people.
Very much so, yeah.
There are serious times and there's fun times on it. The serious times, obviously, when you're looking at the history of it and learning the history of it and listening to the stories of the Egyptologists. The fun times is when you know, when you're walking around the store 3 times to make the wash,
and
everybody's having a bit of fun, and good fun. I enjoyed that.
And you mentioned, did you travel on all-inclusive?
I travelled all-inclusive.
Yeah.
I actually got advice again from a friend. So anybody that's was listening to this, go all-inclusive in my view, because once you, for no other reason that you don't have a bar bill at the end of it, and it was a minimal cost in my view to do that. Whenever you were on the sun deck in the afternoon, you could go up to the bar, which was manned all the time. There was always somebody there. That's what impressed me. And if you wanted to get a Coke or a beer or whatever, and read a book in the sun lounger, and just put up your hand and the waiter was beside you and you just ordered a Coke or a beer or a coffee or a tea.
Of course.
And they brought it over to you and you were just lying on the sun lounger and not just.
Yeah, and
sheer luxury.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that with the bottled water, because it's important, isn't it, to take the bottled water with you. And if you're not on the all-inclusive, you're going to get charged, and it's important to take water, you know, as often as you can, isn't it, because it's very hot.
Absolutely, it is very hot. And we especially went in August, which is a very hot month out there.
Yep.
The bottled water is a vital link for your enjoyment of it, because you're able to get it. And you were able to go down to the bars at night and just say, can I have some water for this trip? They just handed out the same bottled waters to you, no charge.
No.
As they say, Colin, no barbell at the end of the week.
No, so that's a big plus, isn't it? You know,
that's a big plus. A big plus, and as they say, all-inclusive, minimal cost.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before some of the fun times. What was the entertainment like on the ship that you were on?
Absolutely. It was very, very funny.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever dressed up in a long dress and a headscarf. But the entertainment was absolutely amazing, what they were able to do and come in. And there was one particular Egyptian dancer, who actually came in, and he done a dance whereby he spins and just turns around and spins at a constant space, constant speed, rather. And he done that, I would safely say he done that for 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Something that I couldn't do, I've never seen done before.
No.
Then you had the belly dancers.
Yeah, of course.
And they were amazing. They were literally amazing. And they brought everybody, went over and grabbed the hands of people and brought them out and made them do it. And I'm not ashamed to say that I done it.
I think I'd have been running the other way, to be honest with you. Now, a lot
you know yourself.
Yeah. Some people ask about security within Egypt, and what was your impression of the overall security?
Absolutely felt safe. Hmm. Absolutely safe. I'm from a security background, Colin.
Right.
So I would know security.
Yeah.
And whenever we would go out onto the... One of the amazing things I would recommend people to do is actually go up on the deck of the boat at night when it's docked, and it's so calm and it's so nice. But then when you look down, then you would see the guards and the security on the dock side. So you always felt safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And whenever you were going on the excursions or walking through the towns or going to your minibus, you were always aware of the security that was there.
Mm.
Absolutely no hesitation in saying that.
No.
Felt safe all the time.
Good, good. I know this is going to be a hard question, but if you can answer this, could you tell us what a typical day was like for you when you were on the cruise?
My day was, if you like, in stages. Obviously, you woke up in the mornings and you went for your breakfast.
Mm.
And the breakfast was a fantastic breakfast. You could have a selection of fruits, croissants, breads. You could have the typical fry if you wanted that there, the sausages and the eggs and the boiled eggs and the cereals, the fruit juices. It was absolutely lovely spread.
Mm.
Then after that, obviously this was early in the morning because you were going on your excursions. And then you would go on your excursion, you would have your meeting point and the reception area of the boat where you met your Egyptologist again.
Mm.
And you went out and travelled to your various excursions or whatever they may be, and they varied in distance. Some took 20 minutes to get to, some took an hour to get to. But everything was so like clockwork. The buses were there when they were supposed to be there.
Mm.
The guide was there when they were supposed to be there. You went to your excursions, you were there. If you were meeting people at the excursions, they were there to meet you. Nothing was ever a hold-up.
No.
Everything worked like clockwork. Then when you returned after your excursion, the day was much more or less your own. We usually got back in time for lunch. Lunch again was a feast to behold.
Mm-hmm.
All the different meats and different fruits and breads again, and waiters were on hand to get you tea and coffee, and they were the most pleasant of people.
Mm.
Very, very pleasant people. The waiters made sure that no matter what you wanted, you got. The cooks served your food personally. The chefs on board served the food personally. Mm. So once your lunch was over, then the afternoon was yours until your evening meal time. And your evening meal then. So in the afternoons, we normally went to the sun deck and you relaxed and took it easy and sat in the sun loungers, as I say, on the sun deck, or you could sit out by the pool, which was on board as well. The pool was, although not the biggest, not Olympic-sized, was adequate for the needs of what you wanted to do. You could swim in it. You could relax in the pool. And as I say, you could then go to your sun lounger with your book, totally relaxed for the couple of hours, and all the while, the ship was gently steaming up the river now. And if you just wanted to go over to the side and just sit in the sun lounger and just watch the banks of the Nile pass and watch the different life and the everyday life that goes on in Egypt. Just watch that, just as the ship cruised up the Nile. Lovely.
Yeah, it is fantastic, isn't it, to watch the life goes on as you
life
sail.
Life goes on and you're just watching this and this history, as you say, just all these people walking and working on the side of the River Nile and the animals and doing the fields, and then you're just sitting there in the complete relaxation and comfort and safety of the boat and just watching all this here unfold before your eyes. It was an amazing experience.
That's brilliant. Now, finally, and again, this is probably a hard thing, although what you've said, I think, would make anybody think, you know, this is a great trip. What would you say to someone who's thinking of taking a Nile cruise to try and sway them?
To convince them to do it? Yeah, I would absolutely say do it. I have been on several holidays before, Colin, and I've been there and I come back. But the Nile cruise was the one holiday I can honestly say I went there, I done it, and I never forgot it.
No.
It was an amazing experience. And I think the biggest compliment that I could give to it is to say I am definitely going to go back and do it again.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, thank you very much indeed, Eamon. I do appreciate your comments.
It's an absolute pleasure, Colin.
Thank you very much.
And let me just say as well, Colin, I don't even know if we're still on or not, but the help that I got from Barbara in arranging the holiday was absolutely first class, Colin. And do pass on my thanks to her.
I will indeed.
Whenever I sent an email, there was an immediate answer. It was a traumatic experience for me to actually do that and book it on the internet.
Yeah, of
but
course.
She was a pearl of strength and help from the start to the finish.
I will pass that on, and I do appreciate that.
Thanks for coming on there, please, and thank you very, very much.
I will.
No hesitation in traveling again with you.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Eamon. Well, thank you very much, Eamon. I do appreciate the fact that you were able to speak to us. In the forthcoming weeks, we're going to be doing interviews with various people. If you've travelled on an Nile cruise before with ourselves or with anybody else, and you feel like you would like to be, or you would be willing to be interviewed by ourselves to assist other people, giving your idea of how you enjoyed it and what you enjoyed, please feel free to email me on info@nile-cruises-4u.co.uk, and I'll get back to you and we'll try and arrange something. And just before we finish, I want to mention another development that we're doing with the website and the blog. Quite a lot of our clients have kindly let us have photographs and pictures that they've taken. We're always more than happy to receive them, and where we can, we'll put them up on the website. But I'm developing a new section on the blog now, which is a gallery where we're going to put as many photographs as we can. We'll upload them to a Flickr account, and I'll put some details on the blog in the next couple of days. And you can just access the Flickr account and upload any Nile cruises that you have. We'll be very grateful to receive them. I've received a great CD-ROM a few weeks ago, which was full of the wildlife from the Nile, which was some superb pictures. And I don't think people realize when they book a Nile cruise that as well as all the sites and the temples and all the archaeology that you see, there is some fantastic wildlife sites that you'll see. And I'm going to put these pictures up in a section of their own very, very shortly. And you'll be able to see that. Well, we're going to wind that up now, and we're going to be back in a week's time with our second Nile Cruise podcast. Hope you enjoyed this one, and Please feel free if you have any questions to phone Barbara or Joe or myself at Nile Cruises for You on 0808 1089 100, and that's a free phone number. And that's all been, and that's all been, and that's all been.